You are listening to a podcast from Vineyard Church of Augusta. For more information, visit vineyardaugusta.org.
So today we're going to wrap up this series on soul care, on the priority of taking care of our souls, as Jesus encourages us to in Mark 8 and ask the question, you know, what good does it really do you if you get everything? You gain the whole world, everything, and lose your soul. It doesn't benefit you anything in terms of anything of eternal consequence. And so we've been looking at that and getting some really good ideas on how we can intentionally care for our souls, making time and space to be alone with the Lord, to tune our hearts, to tune our ears and minds, to listen to Him, to tune into what He's saying, to just to be in His presence. Because the ultimate goal in soul care is spiritual transformation. It's me and you becoming more and more and more like Jesus. That's really what this is up to and what this is all about. And we want to listen. We want to listen to God. We want to listen as we read His Word. We want to listen to the Holy Spirit as He gives us impressions and maybe guides our thoughts to a certain direction, shows us pictures or all kinds of cool things. And we also want to give time and space in this time of caring for our souls to remember. That's what I want to talk about this morning, the importance of remembering as we care for our souls. Our world is very noisy. It's a very noisy world, so when we quiet ourselves, when we find that time to be alone with the Lord, a big part of that should be remembering and reflecting on His goodness, on who He is. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, was one of the leading Jewish theologians of the 20th century, and he said this. He said, much of what the Bible demands can be comprised in one word, and that one word is remember. Remember. Remembering, recalling, reflecting, it is a really important part of our worship, of our caring for our souls, of just our discipleship. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to remember God's presence in the life of Jesus and our personal stories in our everyday lives. It's important that we do that. You know, even this morning, I was reflecting on, as we were singing, Great Are You, Lord, and singing that song, and it took me right back. I love music, and I have all kinds of associations with music. For some people, it's movies. I know this week I got an email from the Y talking about an adult dodgeball tournament, and immediately I had to email Mary Margaret and Charlie Malarkey, because the three of us went to see Dodgeball, the movie, when it came out, and laughed a lot, and attained that great life principle. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball, right? And everyone said amen, right? Yes. But just the associations that come with those kind of crazy thoughts. On a more holy note, as we were singing Great Are You, Lord this morning, I just remember a time a couple of years ago when there was a guy who some of you worked with, was an acquaintance of mine, and a close friend of some of you who went through a near-death experience. Didn't realize he had pneumonia. It impacted his heart, and they thought they'd lost him. And a couple of times I had a chance to go over and pray for him. And going into the ICU, and I remember that song just in my spirit and praying and singing that song internally as I laid hands on him and prayed for him, Lord, let your breath be in this man's lungs and restore these lungs. And every time we sing that song, I think of that, because that guy was healed miraculously, had an amazing recovery. And so these associations, these remembrances that are rich and are filled with our lives, and this is something that's just really huge in remembering God's love and His transforming presence in our lives. It gives us strength for the present. It gives us hope for the future, because some would say, hey, don't live in the past. But it's not about living in the past. It's about understanding what God has done in our past as we live today in the present, and as we move forward in our future. And that's really an important part of that. In the Old Testament, when Jewish parents were wanting to teach their children about the character of God, who God was, and they told stories. There were not these big conceptual theories that they would share, these theological ideas. They told them stories of the God who delivered them from slavery in Egypt, who opened the Red Sea and allowed them to walk on dry land and then see the sea closed up and to kill all the Egyptian soldiers who were coming after them. The God who gave them manna every day in the wilderness, who caused water to come from a rock miraculously, who gave them supernatural shoes that although they wore them for 40 years, they didn't wear out. Where can I buy some of those? Those were the kinds of things that the Israelites told their children. These were stories, real stories, not these conceptual theological ideas. And that's what they told their children over and over and over again. And it's really important for us that we recognize and regularly remember God's own redemptive work in our lives, where He shows up with real, tangible things. So for me, as a kid growing up, someone who was healed quite miraculously of bacterial meningitis at the age of 7, I grew up with an understanding, a personal experience, of the fact that God heals. He still heals. And that's always been in my frame of reference because of my own experience. And so when I've gone through difficult times, I reflect on that. I reflect on the awful episode I had 4 years ago with my eye, mine and Mary Margaret's issues with infertility. And now as we walk through Mary Margaret's diagnosis, we're remembering these times, reflecting on them, His goodness and His trustworthiness, and remembering and reflecting on God's loving kindness and trustworthiness, trustworthy faithfulness. It informs our worship of Him. So as we are reflecting on that, we're not just worship. We worship God because of who He is. He is worthy of our worship, period, right? He's worthy of our worship, period. Not because of what He does for us, but our God who is holy, our God who is loving, our God who is powerful and majestic and strong and mighty. He does things. He is all of that, but as a result of Him being all of that, He does things. He shows up in our lives, and He shows us His loving kindness, His power, His love, and His grace in all kinds of amazing ways. He is holy. He is loving. He's powerful, majestic. He is good, and therefore He does awesome deeds that reflect all of these qualities. And so the psalmist reflect on this. I will recall all You have done, O Lord. In Psalm 77, I remember Your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about Your mighty works based on the mighty, loving, powerful, holy God that we have. Yes, that is who He is. He is worthy of our worship, but because of who He is, He does some really wonderful things that He calls us to reflect on. We're called to worship the Lord with our whole being. Our bodies, our mind, our strength, our hearts, every part of us, our imaginations. So all of us are to be engaged with this process and this action of worship. And our worship is not just to be a Sunday morning experience. I love that. I value that. That's why we do it. But then it also should impact the way I live my life Monday through Saturday, the decisions that I make, the things that I engage in. And that is not just a newfangled thing that the 20th century or 21st century church has come up with. This is from the beginning. In Deuteronomy 24, God gives the children of Israel a variety of random commands. It's an interesting list of commands as to how they are to live as His people. And in this particular setting at the end of Deuteronomy 24, the focus turns to caring for foreigners, for widows, and for orphans, and that we're to be kind to them, and the children of Israel were to be kind to them, and why they should do this. God gives them the why. I want you to do this, God says, and here's the why. Deuteronomy 24:18, always remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you from slavery. And that is why I have given you this command to be kind to foreigners, to orphans, to widows. That's why. And he goes on later in this same chapter, when you gather the grapes in your vineyard, don't glean the vines after they are picked. Don't go back and get all the little ones that you missed. Just leave them there. Leave the remaining grapes for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. And remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and that is why I'm giving you this command. So our remembrance of God's goodness, of who he is and what he has done, should then not just impact the words that we express to God in our worship, great are you, Lord, that is true, but it should affect how we then go and live our lives as wholehearted worshipers of God. Later in the Old Testament, in Nehemiah, I was just reading this last week in my devotional time, God speaks specifically of the connection between obedience and remembering, and in this case, he speaks of the case of disobedience and not remembering. So as they're coming back into Jerusalem, the walls have been rebuilt, they're restoring that in Jerusalem, and the priests are leading in a worship procession, and this is what they're reading in Nehemiah 9:17, that they, the children of Israel, they refused to obey and did not remember the miracles you had done for them, God. Instead, they became stubborn and appointed a leader to take them back to their slavery in Egypt. So we see the reverse of when we don't remember, when we choose not to reflect on the mighty deeds of God, the goodness of God, what we can fall into, and that we actually revert back to the slavery that we were drawn from. And God's saying, remember what I have done. Remembering, again, is not just about who God is. It's also about who we are in him. It's also about who we are in him. And our sense of who we are and whose we are, it's actually nourished. It's sustained as we remember God's presence, both as we read it in Scripture, and then as we experience it in our lives every day. And that is to be our norm. That is to be what we should be experiencing. Because God is always at work. There is never a time when God is not at work. Sometimes we sense when he's at work more than other times. We sense what he's doing, and other times it's like, God, where are you? You don't seem to be anywhere around, but God is always at work. But when we do see it, it's encouraging, it's strengthening, it's life-giving, it brings hope, but ultimately it's about setting our focus on God's mercy and who he is and what and how he has shown that mercy and compassion in the past. Again, Psalm 25:7, do not remember the sins of my youth, O Lord, and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. According to your love, Lord, remember me. And then next point, remembering and reflecting on God's loving presence in our past makes his loving presence real within our present. There are just days where we just find ourselves doubting. God, I'm in the midst of circumstances that are just dire. Where are you? Where are you? I don't sense your presence. I know that you are good, that you are loving, that you are Emmanuel, you're with us, you're omnipresent, you're everywhere. But God, my sense and my heart and my spirit of that reality, it ain't here. So what do we do on those days? And we all have those days. We all have those days. That's where it's so important to remember and to recall who God has been to us and what God has done for us. It is really, really important. It's not a cop-out. It's not a cop-out. David talks about the importance of strengthening himself in the Lord. I see this as an exercise in that. As an exercise in strengthening ourselves in the Lord. It's like, okay, I am weak because my circumstances just are about to overwhelm me and overcome me. But God, I will recall, I will remember. And this is the way David puts it in Psalm 9. He says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. Past tense. If you read this whole chapter, you'll see that he is under attack. He's being attacked big time. And so, but what he chooses to do, he begins this with an intentional decision. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. We all go through tough times where we feel like that God's nowhere around, but he's there, he is with us. And in those times, we need to stop and we need to reflect on God. This is how I have witnessed and experienced and seen your faithfulness. Today, I can't see it. Today, I'm not realizing it. I'm not experiencing it. But I remember when you came through, when you got this job for me that seemed to come out of nowhere, where you provided for me financially, where you brought healing, where you brought an answer to prayer, and you gave me safety in the midst of a very unsafe situation. Over and over and over again, remembering on these things. And as we do that, we're strengthened and we are encouraged. It's really important for us. You know, as we've been going through the Mary Margaret's cancer diagnosis and all the treatment and stuff for that, I keep going back to that passage in Isaiah that the week before the diagnosis, a pastor friend of mine from a vineyard in the Midwest gave me at a conference out in Colorado. We were there, and he just came up in the middle of the worship. It's like, I just want you to know the Lord's protecting you. The Lord's protecting you. And then an intercessory prayer, the Lord's protecting you. And in fact, a passage from Isaiah that as you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. You won't even smell of the smoke. And when you go through the waters, they won't overcome you. And as I've said before, that was really good to hear then. But boy, was it so much better to be reminded of. And that's the first thing that came to my thought that following Tuesday when Mary Margaret's surgeon said, you've got cancer. The very first thing I will remember, and that has been an encouragement to me and to us as we walk through this. You know, one of the ways that we can be strengthened and encouraged is to remember and to reflect on Jesus, because this is about becoming more and more and more like him. And we become like what or who we worship. And so as we fix our minds on him, he'll keep us in perfect peace as we fix our minds on him and reflect on him. And as we've talked about in the past weeks, Jesus is the most perfect picture that we get of God. He is God in flesh, the Son come to earth, Emmanuel, God with us. And as we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels that really show us Jesus' life here on earth, his ministry here, we're able to read it and to see it and get that clearer picture of who God is. And I want to encourage you, maybe if you haven't done this in a while, pick one of the Gospels. Pick one of the Gospels. And on a rainy Sunday afternoon or a day in the week when you got a nice little stretch of time, sit down and read the whole thing like a novel. I mean, they're not that long. I mean, if you want to start with a short one, start with Mark. It's like an action-packed one. And just take in and just see and just really experience that. I love the Audible commercials, stories that surround you. You know, the Amazon's book on an audio book club. And I love their commercials. They've got some really cool commercials where they talk about the stories surround you. And it's a really cool image that some of their ads have. And I would encourage you, just as you are reading the Gospels, as you're reading the story of what Jesus is doing, let his story surround you. Find yourself in that imaginative reading where you're just in the story with him. Maybe you're a bystander, or maybe you're the object of his affection, or you're the one being healed, or you're just watching. Whatever it is, I love. They're fun. They're fun, and it is just let the story surround you. So as we remember and reflect on Jesus' actions and interactions in the gospel, we get a clearer picture of the character and nature of God. It goes back to that. This is our clearest picture of who God is. And so that's why it's so important. If you look at the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are so complementary, they are so unified, they bless each other, they completely complement one another. And we just see that enhanced as we look at Jesus and we recognize his revelation of who God is for us. You know, John even talks about the fact that one of the reasons he wrote his gospel, he says this in John 20, these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. So it's important for us to remember, to read, to comprehend, to remember, to reflect on. what did Jesus do so that we can emulate him? We can follow suit. When we find ourselves in a situation where someone is being condemned in a group setting, how are we going to react? How are we going to respond? Are we going to jump right in to make ourselves look nice and righteous? Or are we going to say, Holy Spirit, thank you for the mercy that you have given to me. Now let me extend that same mercy to this person who right now is being ambushed with condemnation. The power of the Holy Spirit to come and to do that in us and with us and through us. Remembering and reflecting on our personal stories also is a huge, huge part of this. It helps us to see that our lives are continuously lived in God's loving presence. One writer that I read recently put it this way, that our lives are never secular. Our lives are never secular, meaning that our lives are never lived apart from that which is holy. So many of us think of our lives, and we're so me-centered as we think of our lives, and we think our only connection with God happened when we decided to accept Jesus as the forgiver of our sins, the gift of salvation. And we're going to celebrate that this morning with baptizing six people. I would highly encourage you, stick around for worship, for the second service. We're going to do it during worship. It's going to be the best thing you're going to see today. I don't care how the Super Bowl turns out. I don't care how good JT's halftime show is. This is going to be the best thing you're going to see today. So stick around and be a part of that. But the whole idea is that's not when God's presence began to interact with our lives. That's not it at all. We have never lived a moment apart, you know, from God. In Acts 17, Paul preaching to the Athenians, he says this, "In God we live and we move and we exist, we have our being." And just a reminder, too, of, you know, Of our life-giving God, our Creator God, that all life comes from Him. As the psalmist says in 139, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Now, our awareness of God's love, our awareness of God's presence, that could be another factor. Yeah, we live, for many of us, many, many years completely oblivious to that. But it's not because God's not there. It's not because He's not extending His love and His kindness. And it's important for us to remember that. I love in the Gospel of Luke. Luke, there's so many beautiful nuances that Luke gets, you know, in the stories that of Jesus that he captures. And particularly when Mary and the act of remembrance after the shepherds came to Joseph, to Mary, and Jesus. Remember that account in Luke chapter 2. The shepherds are out just minding their own business. They're doing their work. And an angel appears to them and tells them of Jesus' birth. And they leave and go and find Jesus as they are led there. And it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often." Because this is a pretty amazing story. I mean, she's just gone through this bizarre situation in her own life where an angel appears to her, an angel appeared to Joseph. They can't find a place to stay. She knows she's never been with a man, and all of a sudden she finds herself pregnant. And so all these crazy things are going on, and then these shepherds show up. You know, there was no invitation sent out for a baby shower, and here they're showing up. And like, "Who are you? And I just had a baby. Thank you." But they tell Mary and Joseph this amazing encounter they had had. And I love that Luke, he gets that. He says, Mary kept all these things, these experiences, these inbreakings of the kingdom of God in her heart. And she thought about them often. And I believe that that helped Mary process some of the very confusing, troubling things that she experienced later on as Jesus was an adult. As Jesus was saying things like, you know, "I can't come to be my family. My family is those who does my Father's will." And at first it would be like, man, that's sort of dissing your mom. But no, that's just Jesus focusing on what the Father had sent him here to do. And Mary understanding that, and I'm sure she continued to reflect on all those things. And ultimately, I can't help but believe that when she's standing at the foot of the cross, a cross that's meant for criminals, and yet her innocent, holy son is up there, that she has to reflect on all of that, and that's part of just what helps sustain her as the Holy Spirit gives her strength. I would ask you this, what God thing do you need to keep in your heart and think about often? What has God spoken to you? Where has he shown up in some pretty, maybe odd ways, powerful ways, bizarre ways? Have you thought about them lately? Have you thought about them? I think there is value in keeping those things in our hearts and thinking about them on a regular basis. They can be strengthening. They can be life-giving. They're important. Our remembering, our reflecting is worship, and our worship comes with the tangible, it welcomes the tangible presence of God into our situations. Our worship welcomes the presence of God, that tangible sense. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent, but he's enthroned on the praises of his people, and he comes in his power and his love. And in God's presence, and only in God's presence, are we transformed and are we made more and more like Jesus. And so John's words in Revelation that we as believers, that we overcome Satan, our enemy. How? Through the blood of a spotless Lamb of God who was hung on the cross for you and me, and through the word of our testimony. And to have a testimony, there has to be recall, doesn't there? There has to be remembering. I remember and I recall this and I speak it. And the person that I'm telling this to hears it, but I also hear it. And I need to hear it. I need to hear it. And in that, there's strength, there's transformation. We're made more and more and more like Jesus. In this, God gives us power. He strengthens us. And probably the ultimate act of remembrance is in the sacrament that we're going to celebrate now in communion. Yeah, today is sort of Super Bowl Sunday. We've got water baptism, second service, and communion. We call it our Super Sacrament Sunday. Woo! But this is, you know, what's cool is when, if you're here for second service and you see the people going down, death to the old man, the old woman, the old person, being raised up to new life, that picture of resurrection that we will see enacted physically as they go under the water and then out. And the same way when we come to the Lord's table, that we remember Jesus' body on the cross that took nails and strikes that were meant for me and for you and for us in our sin, but yet he was sinless and he took that for me and for you, and he shed his blood. And knowing that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin, but he shed his blood once and for all for us. And so as we come, we remember and we give thanks and we receive what God has made possible for us, salvation and healing, wholeness for our entire lives. The very first Lord's Supper or communion, Jesus said in Luke 22, he took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it, and then he broke it in pieces and he gave it to the disciples saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So this remembering thing, it's big. It's big. It's big. It's important for us to recall, and maybe for you it's maybe you need to just find some time to go and sit and reflect on what, God, how did you show up for me in 2017? Write it down. Write it down. Because there are days that you need to go back and look at that, because there doesn't seem to be anything of God going on in your life, inside or outside. And you're very aware of that. It's like, okay, God, so that I don't become hopeless and give up, so that I can be strengthened in you, I will remember. I will remember. I will remember your faithfulness. I will remember the way that you brought healing. I will remember the way that you answered this prayer that seemed completely not going to happen. But you came, Lord, and you broke through and you brought the answer that I needed. You made this job possible. You healed this marriage. You brought physical healing. You brought salvation to that person that I've been praying for and thought was a lost cause. God, you did this. I will remember and I will give thanks. And ultimately, God, I give thanks to you because I was a sinner and you saved me. You brought me into relationship with you through Jesus, and I remember. And that's what we do when we come to communion, when we come to the sacrament of the Lord's table. And so I want to invite you to stand this morning.